Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Trueblood, hosting as well, Mr. John Paul Basham.
Yo!
We are excited for another episode with you here on the podcast. Thanks for listening. If you haven't left a rating and review, we would love for you to head over to iTunes and give us that five-star review.
Mm-hmm. Not a two, but a five.
That's right. So leave that. Let us know what you think of the podcast. It helps other people find this student ministry content that you have grown to love and enjoy. So thanks for listening. I want to remind you one more time. This may be the last time we remind you of it because we're getting pretty well into fall right now. But you have free volunteer leader training that is available to you because you're an awesome, loyal podcast listener. So head over to lifeway.com/student-ministry-training, and there is video training available for you that you can take, use, show it to your volunteers. There's discussion guides for all six sessions that are a part of that package, or you can take it, watch it, and then repeat it yourself. However you want to use it, we just want you to use it. So lifeway.com/student-ministry-training. That's just one of the ways we want to serve you in your mission of making disciples in addition to this podcast. So without further ado, let us jump into our topic today. Now, we have been asked about this topic. It's a discussion you guys have heard us talk before about our Essentials Conference. That's a small group gathering of student pastors from around the country that we do a few times a year. It's intentionally small groups so that we can facilitate a lot of discussion between you as youth ministry leaders. If that's something that you would like more information on, you can reach out to us through Twitter at Ben Trueblood or at John Paul Basham, and we'll get you some information about that Essentials Conference. But this is always a topic that comes up in a question and answer time. It's along the lines of what you wish you knew when you started student ministry. So just as a quick reminder for those of you that are new to the podcast, I was a student pastor with 14 years of local church experience and now 5 here at Lifeway. Some of that overlaps a little bit. John Paul, give them a reminder of your yearage.
Man, I was just thinking about the years.
Counting them up.
What's in my bio, Nathan? It's 12 or 13.
I love when Nathan does the counting on the hands.
Yeah, when you don't have enough fingers, to double it up.
Yeah.
Which makes it a little bit more difficult of a mental exercise.
Yeah. So we know that some of you that listen to the podcast definitely have more years in youth ministry than we do. And we think that's awesome. Being in student ministry for a while, that's a question that we get asked. And it's a topic that student pastors talk about amongst each other. And I think it's one of the best ways to learn is to learn from other people, even if they've been in it a short amount of time. So I think there's something that veteran youth pastors can learn from new youth pastors, and definitely vice versa. And so that's our topic today, is what we, John Paul and myself, wish we knew when we started out after having all these years in local church student ministry experience, and then in the student ministry experience that we have here at Lifeway in meeting and talking with and coaching with and doing small group gatherings and things for a lot of youth pastors, what we've kind of gleaned through that experience. You want to go first or you want me to?
Sure. We'll start off. So we've got kind of some funny stories for a little bit later. We'll start off on a little bit more serious note. And I think probably both of us would say one of the things we wish we would have known early on in student ministry would have been to learn from the example of other student pastors that had been in the trenches for a lot longer than we had. Instead of just I know I came into student ministry, the young guy that thought he knew it all, looking at the example of some of the people around me saying, man, they're out of touch, they don't know what they're doing. Didn't take me long to figure out. They knew exactly what they were doing.
How long, was it after you had left a situation, or was it, did you notice while you were still in it?
So I feel like, I was an intern for several years before I came into full-time student ministry.
Yeah.
And I think the whole time that I was an intern, there were a couple of dudes around me that I was like, that is such a joke. Why would they do that? And then when the responsibility fell on my shoulders the first few times, I realized, oh, that's why. Because they have to care about what's important.
Yeah. And it's the same thing we say about senior pastors many times, is that they have more information. And so decisions come from that wealth of information and people that we just don't have sometimes when we're younger in ministry.
Yeah.
I would agree. I think that would be one for me too, would be to listen and learn more from people who had gone before me. I think I squandered a lot of opportunities to learn from people that I was around. I think that, like you said, maybe discounted and said that, man, these people are out of touch. There's not a lot I can learn from them. I've definitely been in that before. And the reality is that one of the best ways to learn is to learn from other people's experiences so that you don't have to walk through that same stuff. We were talking about this just before we pressed the record button, and producer Nathan was saying a lot of times we learn from our own experiences and trust our own experiences and want to learn from our own experiences when we can save ourselves a lot of trouble, a lot of time, a lot of wasted energy if we would just submit ourselves and have a little humility to get with somebody who's been doing it longer than we have and learn from them.
Yeah. And I think it's important to be able to admit when you don't even know what questions to ask. Sometimes you'll face a situation and say, oh, I feel great about this. But if you've never tread those waters before, you need to realize, man, there's some factors I'm not even seeing here. So being willing to ask somebody else, what do I not see? What am I not thinking about? What have you done in the past?
Yeah.
Is going to draw out a lot of lessons that you could learn up front instead of learning the hard way.
Yep, that's right. Man, I think for me, I agree with you on that first one, but I think a separate strand of that conversation is I wish that I would have connected more to youth pastors in my community than I did.
No doubt.
I for much of my local church ministry, operated in a silo of youth ministry at my own church. When I know that there were youth pastors around that, man, I could have learned a ton from. Perhaps we could have learned together or done some more things together to really impact the community I was in, rather than being so laser focused on the church that I was at, the student ministry that I was leading, and the students that were at my church. I wish I would have spent more time in some kind of student pastor community or a regional network of some kind. And I neglected that, and I believe I really missed out.
I remember in our time serving together when you started kind of turning the corner there and seeing the value in doing some things with some other churches. And Ben was like, man, I think I'd like to do a camp with another church. And at the time, one of our good friends, Steve Browning, was a student pastor at a church just, I don't know, 20, 30 miles away from us.
Yeah.
Great church, great leader in Steve.
Yeah,
and Steve was a guy that he was like, man, I want to gather. He had the right idea. I want to gather all the local area churches and do some big things together.
Yeah.
And so Ben was kind of on board. We went and did a couple of site visits for a camp, and Ben asked me. I'm a little bit behind Ben in experience and time in the saddle, and I'm still the young gun wanting to prove himself, and I'm like, I don't think I'm in.
Yeah.
And I kind of squashed that whole deal. Of course, Steve got us back because...
this is really funny, by the way.
Ben leaves, and then I'm planning camp, and I'm like, well... This is 2 years down the road because we said no the first time.
Yeah.
And then circled back around, let's do camp together. And then that's when you got the call to come here to Lifeway.
Right.
And so I'm like, well, I'm going to do this thing with Steve. And I'm still hesitant about it, but I'm like, man, Ben had it right. I need to do this. So I go meet with Steve, and Steve says, yeah, that'll be great. I'm moving to Alabama.
So, well, and you guys were like down the road on plans a little bit too.
We were 2 months away from camp. maybe 3 months away from camp.
And he was like, I'm leaving. But Steve's awesome. We love him. Some of you might know him.
Anyway, Steve went to a great place to do some ministry. We ended up going to the state camp.
Yeah. But.
Should have just done Fuge.
That's right. Absolutely. The shameless plug there. But I think there's a ton of value in both the mentoring type relationship, John Paul, that you mentioned, and the relationship with student pastors in your community, and kind of like a peer sharpening each other kind of relationship, and partnering together to do ministry. I mean, there's a lot that can be done for the uppercase K kingdom that we miss out on when we focus so much on our lowercase K kingdom.
Yes.
Grammar. Grammar is awesome.
But yeah, partnering with other churches, here's the deal. I mean, you've got to get your pride out of the way.
Yeah.
And well, once you do that, there's going to be so many doors and opportunities for ministry that you can take advantage of if you'll just move your own ego out of the way.
That's right. What about training just in itself? Going to conferences for training, being a part of a group. Many of you know that listen to the podcast. We also do the Student Pastor Network, which is an online training and development community for student pastors focused on what you do. What do you believe in your early years of student ministry that you devoted enough time to training in student ministry?
No, I didn't value training in my discipline specifically for student ministry until I went to the Mega Metro Conference the first time and ran into a bunch of people that had been doing student ministry longer than I had,
yeah,
at churches bigger than ours with student ministries doing more than we were doing, and realized, oh, like, I'm not incredible at this. There's a lot to be learned. There's a wide, wide world of ministry opportunity that I didn't even know to think about.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I was exposed to all of those guys and all of those churches that I thought, wow, I need to start learning.
Yeah.
But at the time, there wasn't anything like the Student Pastor Network. I don't think, you know, online training for student ministry wasn't a thing at that time.
Yeah. And that's one of our goals in doing the podcast. That's one of our goals in our blog. That's one of our goals with the Essentials Conference that we talked about. That's one of our goals with the Student Pastor Network, is to expose you as student ministry leaders to topics, conversations, ideas, thoughts that maybe you've thought of a little bit, maybe you've already thought through, but to challenge your thinking there, or to expose you to brand new things where you say, man, where you have that experience that John Paul just talked about, like, man, I need to up my game here. I need to really think through this. I need to add some things to my ministry, or I need to think about this aspect of volunteer leadership or parent ministry in a different way. Here's the reality. There are so many student pastors in our country who are satisfied doing what they're doing right now. There was a time in ministry where I became satisfied with doing what I was doing. And the moment that we become satisfied and we look around and say, man, things are going pretty well, I feel like I know what I'm doing, we have kind of a smooth process running, I've been in it a little while, then that exposes us to so much danger of just, it takes one more inch for that to turn into complacency. And I mean, you've traveled around, and so have I. And the reality is that we have a lot of people who are passionate about student ministry, who love student ministry, who want to make a difference in teenagers, but have just slipped into that mode of complacency and feel like if we keep doing what we're doing, then we're going to reach teenagers. And that's the wrong place to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of that is just, again, not knowing that there's more out there to do.
Yeah.
Not seeing somebody else's example. You know, sometimes I think often what I've seen is not necessarily laziness, although when you look at the outside and you say, man, you've just been doing the same thing for all these years. Like,
right.
Do you just not care? And I think it's more often than not, that's not the case.
I agree.
It's just that leader has never seen ministry led a different way to expand their horizons and kind of give them a new idea of how things could be done and that they can be successful another way. I think we get trapped into thinking, well, I tried this one thing one time and it bombed, and so I've just stuck with what I knew worked.
Yeah.
And it may work, but there's likely other things that can work even better.
Yeah. I totally think it's in many cases, some people choose the complacency. But yeah. I think in most cases, it's an unintentional slide towards complacency and just comfort in what we're doing. And the things that can, so if you're listening to the podcast and you're like, well, how do I know if I'm there? How can I break out of that? Relationships with other student pastors and training and honing your craft are two ways that you can bust out of that and break through that lid, so to speak, that's on the top right now.
Man, as I think about it too, I think another factor is probably student ministry leaders that are having some, if you're paid staff, part-time, full-time, there are a lot of churches that are putting some pressure on student ministry leaders and kind of asking the question, do we need to keep paying this position? You know, is this a position worth having? Or at some mega churches, then it's, are you the person in this spot? We're going to pay somebody, but are you generating the results that we're looking for?
Yeah.
In this position? And sometimes there's a level of fear that will lock a leader into doing what they've done because they know they can almost guarantee a certain result. So if I know I can get this and I'm hedging my bets against moving backwards at all, then I'm just going to stick here for job security.
Yeah, because you know it's going to do what it's going to do.
Yeah.
So talk about the importance. I think this is that's a great thought. So talk about the importance of maybe taking some risks in student ministry. And we're not talking about like crazy, ridiculous, having your students do something stupid, like kind of thing. Like, how important is it to take risks, to break out of that?
Well, I mean, I think that we're called to reach the people that we've been charged to reach in our communities and beyond our communities. And that's not a... I mean, the Christian walk is not a safe, comfortable. I don't think it was intended to be a safe, comfortable walk. I think we've been called to step outside of our comfort zone and seek Christ in the way He's calling us to reach people, which is sometimes a dangerous calling, sometimes a risky calling. It demands us getting outside of who we are and what we're comfortable with.
Yeah.
So I think, just by nature of the gospel call on our life, we are supposed to be stepping out that way. Now, I think the way that we do that is where we need to be wise.
Yeah.
Because you can take and should take calculated risks. You don't need to just say, oh man, I'm just shooting for the moon. You know, you haven't told a soul, you haven't run the plan by anybody, you just try a new thing. That's when you're going to get in trouble. But you can go to whoever you report to, whatever that looks like, and say, man, I want to try something new. What do you think? Can we try this, that, whatever? Be okay with them pushing back and giving you a few boundaries. If you're able to test a couple of new variables, even for an event that you've done forever, but I'm going to do these two or three things different and see what happens, do that. You know, and if you're doing that with the blessing of your whatever, your senior pastor, your executive pastor, your minister of education, whatever, elders, then you're doing that in some safe, within some safe guidelines that everyone's approved of, everyone's aware of the plan. And then no matter where it goes, if everybody's on board, then everybody's invested.
Yeah, that's right. And I think we could take another, like if we spin it and look at a different angle, then we can say, what is the impact on the students themselves if we only do what we know will bring the results, so to speak, or if we only do what we know works and we're never taking risks, then in some way our leadership of the ministry will begin to be reflected in the way that the students live, right? Like then the way that they approach their lives as a disciple of Jesus is very possible will reflect this safe, I'm going to keep it all how I know how to handle it. I'm going to keep it all inside. And I'm not going to step out and risk in my personal faith because the example I see is hold on to what we've got,
right,
so to speak. Another aspect of this that I think is worth talking about in our closing minutes here is that training and relationships with other student pastors for the sake of development and growth and reaching the kingdom, reaching students in that region for the kingdom, uppercase K kingdom, breaking out of that rut that we've talked about. It's not just a good idea. Like, if we're truly called to this, then there is an aspect of our discipleship as leaders that enters in, where our treatment of our calling, where our desire to glorify God in all things has to come into play. That if we're truly called and as disciples, in addition to that, then we will do what it takes to continue to hone our craft, whether it's our first year in ministry or our 31st year in ministry. Why? Not because of the ministry, but because we're disciples of Jesus and what he calls us to, we should take seriously. We would say the same thing for a mechanic or a lawyer or a landscaping company owner who is a disciple of Jesus, that they should continually better themselves and develop themselves because as disciples of Jesus, we should be leading the way in that.
Yeah.
We should be doing it unto the Lord. And, you know, we look at that and there, like, if you're a marketer, there are marketing conferences, there are marketing programs, there are further education for marketers, there's networks that you can be a part of, blogs that you can read. And we look at that and we go, man, that's awesome. Yet I think that element in ministry world is sometimes neglected and we just don't seek those things out. And we should.
Yeah. I mean, that makes me think about something. Another thing I wish I would have known coming into ministry was the impact that a sole focus on my ministry would have on my spouse and my family. Same kind of thing. Young gun coming in. I've kind of got a chip on my shoulder. I've seen a bunch of people around me do it in a way that I think I could do better. Need to prove myself. Have these dreams of, man, in 10 years, I'm going to be the senior pastor of this church, you know? And then that drives me to do everything I can do to achieve everywhere but my relationship with my spouse.
Yeah.
And that, you know, eventually, I mean, we're happily married and have two kids and all that. It wasn't a total, you know, disaster story.
But that catches up with you.
It did. And we found ourselves in counseling trying to sort it all back out.
Yeah.
So I wish I would have known the importance and the impact of that from the start.
That's good. Well, I think that's a good opportunity to slide in maybe some super practical things we wish we would have known. So one of those for me, some of you may have heard us talk about a little survey that when John Paul and I were serving together for some of those time we've been in student ministry, we wanted to know where our students were at. We were hearing stories about things they were dealing with and pretty serious stuff. I mean, you guys are in student ministry. You know students deal with some crazy. And we were in a situation where we believed that the parents were kind of out of touch with what their students were dealing with. And so we decided to take a survey of the students and what they're exposed to and what they know and what they've done themselves.
And I mean, new crowd, new church, new, like, hey, let's get a good read. Let's get a good pulse.
We had been at the church for months, like a handful of months, maybe 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. First, you know, red flag.
Yeah, exactly. and we thought, okay, if we're going to do this, we got to get the pastor's permission. Well, we did, but it was like literally in just a couple of minutes, hey, pastor, we need to catch you real fast. And he's on his way to something else.
Speed walking down the hall and we just yank him into Ben's office. Look at this real quick.
Let's throw this at you. And so he read the survey and just a couple and said, yeah, I think it's great. And he was on his other thing. That was bad leading up on my part. That is not the way to lead up. That's not the way to earn points. It's set up a meeting, take the time, plan, do all the things we always talk about. The reason why we talk about that is because we messed it up. So this survey went to middle school and high school students on a Sunday morning in their groups. You know, it asked them questions about, do you know like what marijuana is? Have you ever used, like there were all
kinds
of stuff.
Have you used it in the last year, the last 6 months?
This morning on the way, like was it in your donut?
Did
before you
hotbox your mom and dad's minivan with them?
Yes, just short of that. But there was also sexual stuff on there. So picture it in your mind. There's literally sixth graders in this room who are reading this survey, and they're asked, you mark yes or mark no. No. And that I
red
wish
flag.
I had known that wasn't a good idea. And I wish I had worked ahead of time with the pastor to give him more time to really digest what was going on. That was not a good idea, and it caused us a lot of heartache. But it ended up being good because, and this happened early on, and this is when I knew I'm going to be at this church a long time. One, because I didn't get fired on the spot, right. So that was good. So right. I knew I'd made it through that. And then the pastor had our backs, and he stood up in front of the parents and, you know, acknowledged, and maybe this wasn't done in the right way, but had our backs and said, if you as parents don't believe that your students are involved in these things or know about them, then you need to pull your heads out of the sand. And he stood strong for us that day.
He did. We did have one thing on our side, is that he did have eyes on it beforehand. So I think part of it for him was like, why you did I not see that when I looked at this survey? Like,
yeah.
If they asked, did you see it before they put it out? He had to say yes.
That's right.
See, calculated risk.
We didn't set him up to win well in that.
No, we didn't.
But he had our backs, which was awesome.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
So here's another one. I wish I would have known that it was just not okay to be so arrogant to think that anything in the church is free game for me because I was a staff pastor.
Yeah, and some of you believe that too. Like, you'll pull stuff from random parts of the church. You won't put it back. So, like, don't look at us all spiritual through the microphones here.
Yeah, so we had a cafe in our church, and it had, you know, there was like the behind the counter section, but then the drink machine was out from behind the counter around the corner. And so for a little while, me and Ben would use our key and get into this storage closet where they had these giant, like, big gulp cups, and we would sneak around the corner and fill these big gulp cups up with whatever drink we were looking for, and we'd walk off back up to our offices like snickering. And one day, Bobby Turner,
who is one of the best, he was the executive pastor at the time, and he was the best executive pastor ever. Yeah. I mean, this dude rocked.
Incredible.
Amazing man.
But he calls us into his office and gives us like a 5-year rundown of the budget and all the considerations behind why they price things the way they do for the cafe and in the kitchen for Wednesday night meals
and
all
like,
that stuff.
What is he telling us this for?
And just ends it with, so when you steal cups and drinks from the closet across from the cafe, this is not helping us at all. We were like, oh gosh, I wanted to melt into the floor.
I know. I mean, and it didn't help that this is like the best dude on the planet. He's so awesome. And he's like one of those people you don't want to disappoint. So it was like, oh, we're so sorry and we're dumb.
Yeah. That was a low moment.
Yeah. Not, it was. It was for sure. I wonder if he remembers that.
Of course he remembers that. What happened is we closed the door and walked out with our tails between our legs, and he probably just started laughing.
Probably. I wonder if he's on an executive pastor podcast right now telling a story about these two joker youth pastors that were stealing cups from the cafe.
He's probably been watching us through the camera steal cups for a month and just decided, I mean, they're not going to stop.
That's right. Oh, man. Bobby, we love you. You're awesome. Well, that sounds like a perfect place to end this week's episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. But before we leave, I want to encourage you to do this. Tweet at us things that you wish you knew when you started in student ministry. Things you wish you knew in student ministry way back when. So rewind the clock to when you started, things you wish you knew, and shoot those to us via Twitter at Ben Trueblood, at John Paul Basham. We would love to hear from you on that stuff, and maybe even work it into a second podcast.
I can't wait.
On this topic.
Please do it.
Yeah.
Please actually do it.
We know that there are thousands of you that listen to this. So jump on Twitter, send us your things you wish you knew. They can be serious, they can be funny, and we'll put them on the podcast in future episodes. So thanks for listening. We love spending this time with you every single week. We hope you enjoy it as well. See ya.